So my question for you tonight is, are you willing to be used by God? Or are you willing to say, I'm willing to be used? You know, the world would tell you, being used by people, you shouldn't want to be used by people. They would tell you to put up the fences, don't let people use you, don't let people this, don't let... And I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about God, the God who loves us, the God who owns us, we're bought with a price, the God we belong to, the God who many of us have surrendered our hearts and lives at different times. Would we go before him and just say, God, I'm willing to be used? And I thought in the... If you went and watched that again, the guy who preached afterwards, his name is David Gibbs. He's the president of the CLA, and our church has supported Christian Law Associations for all these years. He preached a message afterwards, and it was out of Nehemiah. It was something similar to what I'm getting ready to say. Obviously, it's not the exact same message, but at the same time, the thoughts kind of just got a hold of my heart, especially when I was studying Mark chapter 8, like we talked about this morning. So I'd like to leave these thoughts with you tonight. Are you willing to be used? If you go ahead and look in the book of Nehemiah, and I thought about all the different Bible characters that was used by God, all the different Bible characters that we could say, hey, there's somebody that God used, there's somebody who was willing to surrender. I mean, we could have looked at the faith of Abraham, we could have looked at Noah's faith, we could have looked at a lot of different people, but this is one person that was working in a secular job, and God put a burden on his heart. And as God put this burden on his heart, he said, I'm willing to go. And we see the story of Isaiah. He says, here am I, Lord, send me. And in other words, he's just saying, Lord, I'm willing to be used. And that's what I'm hoping tonight. We walk away and just say, God, you're God. I'm willing to be used whatever way you see fit. So, Pastor, what if he calls me to a place like called Baghdad? And I don't know of a place that we looked around and would say, oh, I'm definitely not going there. I would never do that. I would, you know, it's not about being willing to do certain things and not others. It's about saying, God, I just want to be used by you. Brother Stephen did not have, God put the Middle East on his heart. I remember when I knew him a number of years ago, he was talking about going to Jordan at that point in time. And we didn't bring him in for a missions conference. We get lots of different letters and lots of different people, and some of the different reasons we just chose not to use to bring him in as part of our missions family, because we get probably 100 different times a year, different people we choose from that we bring in and pray about. But his heart was in the Middle East. I was thinking, boy, that's a tough field. And then later on, I heard that he had gone from Jordan over to Baghdad. I'm thinking that's even a tougher field. And he was murdered, and the only reason why that was known for being murdered was because he was a Christian spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Nehemiah chapter number 1. It says, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakalah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislah, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So tonight's sermon is going to be a little bit different, but there is some main points. But if you want to be used to the Lord, what it means to say, say to God, I want to be used, whatever way you want me to use me. One of the first things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to let God burden your heart. I don't know which, actually I have three different things written down here, so you can choose which one of the threes that you like, because I couldn't figure out which one. It says you have to let God burden your heart, you have to allow yourself to care, or you have to be willing to bear a burden. So where do you see that? I see this here, and I see that when it comes to verse number 2, he takes the time and he says in verse number 2, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which had left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. Most of us know Nehemiah. We went through it years ago. I don't know how many years ago now it's been Nehemiah, probably about 10 years ago, but they were in captivity. Some have been able to go back, and they're there, and Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer. He's there. He's excited. He wants to know what's going on in Jerusalem. He cares enough to ask. Now, here's the thing is, if you're really going to ever have a burden, you're going to have to care enough to ask. You're going to have to be willing to say, I want to know, and not just how we many times will say, how are you doing to somebody? We don't really many times particularly care. We just want to be proper in our greeting, and we want to say, oh, how are you doing? And if somebody sits there and truly tells you how they're doing, many times we just let it go in one ear and go out another ear. But if you really, truly want to be used of God, you have to be willing to ask. You have to be willing to care. You have to be willing to allow the need to penetrate your heart. Lamentations 5:53-51 says it this way, my eye affecteth my heart because all the daughters of my city. He took time to ask. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a problem with asking. He took time not just to ask. He took time to consider the numbers. He took time to, as you see in verse number 3, and they said unto me the remnant, and began to give the description of the great affliction and the reproach, and how the wall was broken down, and how the gates thereof are burned with fire. And verse number 4, he doesn't just dismiss it and say, oh, well, that's too bad. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm not dealing with that. And sometimes that's what we'll do. Instead of carrying a burden, instead of being willing to get personally involved, instead of being that compassionate person, feeling, getting in someone else's skin, feeling someone else's pain. But in verse number 4, he cares and he says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He took the time to consider. I tell you, if we would take the time to consider pretty much any of those mission fields, pretty much anything, any of the cities in America, pretty much the staggering numbers that we hear about the great sins that are happening across our world and our country, the lack of interest and lack of, and the apathy that's found amongst many times churches. If we would take time to consider, if we would take time to pray, if we would take time to mourn, if we would take time to fast, what is he doing? He is seeking the Lord here. He's hearing something. He's mourning. He's allowing God to affect his heart. He's allowing God to create a burden in him. He's allowing God to make a difference in his life, to where he's not just like that Levi or that priest on the road with the Good Samaritan, where the guy was, he saw the need. He knew, they knew there was a need. And what did they do? They crossed the other side of the road. But instead, he was willing to be as if to get some merit and to see the need and say, you know what, God, if you want me to do something, I'm willing to do it. I think that's got to come to a spot where we just open up our hearts and say, Lord, I want to be used. Whatever it is that you call me, whatever it is you want me to do, doesn't really matter. As once again, we are blood bought. We belong to him. And he, as we talked about this morning, about denying ourselves and picking up our cross and following after him, it's the point is, are we willing to go before God and say, God, I'm willing to be used? If we truly want to be used by God, we must allow God to create a burden in us for the things that he's calling us to do. Think about it this way. The numbers are staggering. Things are not getting better when it comes to, especially in America, when it comes to Bible-believing Christians and the stances they take. Do you think that God would call less people when the need was greater? I don't. Do you feel like if as we heard the choir sing about the midnight cry, if we are truly standing on the edge of eternity, that God's going to stop calling people, that the need is not going to be as great and God's not going to reach out to more? The answer is no. He's still calling. It's just whether or not people are willing to have that burden, or if people are willing to see the things that are happening, they're experiencing, and willing to deny themselves. That way God can be able to use them, willing to set things down. So that way God says, hey, I want to use you over here. But in order to have that, in order to be used by God, we must allow God to burden our hearts. When will we let the needs of this world burden our hearts? When will we let the needs of the lost burden our heart? The need is great. Others may have known about this great need that was here in the about Israel, but there was one who stopped, who asked the question, who took the time to mourn, who took the time to weep, who took the time to sit down and fast and pray. There was one that God was able to burden, and we know how miraculously God used this man. So we're called to have compassion. We're called to have the mind of Christ. We see over and over in scriptures about that, so are you willing to say, hey, God, I want to be used? This is step number one. It doesn't continue any farther if we don't say that. But I think most of us would say, well, maybe not most of us. Some of us would say, of course I want to be used by God. And then we would say, but there's only certain things I want to be used by. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for people who are willing to say, God, I just want to be used. Whatever you put on my heart, I'm willing to do. Second thing, not only do I want you to think about this, is not only does we need to allow God to help us to have a burden, and I think some of us would say, God, I'm ready for God to give us a burden. The second thing I want you to think about is, if we're going to be used by God, we have to be clean. God doesn't use dirty vessels. So you say, hey, pastor, okay, I'm willing to stop. I'm willing to put my arms up. I'm willing to say, God, I want to be used by you. Okay, you got to let God be able to affect your heart. You got to let God do a work in your life. You got to let God give you that burden, but you also have to be willing to be clean. Look what it says in verses 6 through 9 here. Actually, we'll start in verse 5 since we left off in verse 4. It says, and said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. He said, let thine ear now be attentive, let thine eyes and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. This is a prayer that he's praying often for the children of Israel, thy servants. And look what it says, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. And so he's confessing. He says, oh, that's not hard to confess the sins of America. Boy, that's tough. But look, it's not hard to see, not hard to do. But he says, which we have sinned. He makes it personal. He's praying for the sin that he has committed, but also the sin of his nation. We have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. If we truly are going to be used by God, we have to be clean. And it says, and we have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, and he begins to tell God, these are the commandments, these are the promises that you've given us, and he's seeking them. It's wonderful. And he says, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of your cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I've chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy strong hand. So the second thing, if you really truly want to be used by God, number one, you have to let God burden your heart for what he has given you to work. And God's given different people different works. We think about Brother Barry was in St. Vincent, and Brother Potter was in Wyoming and in Israel, and Brother Christian and Alyssa feel like God's calling them to India, and God calls us to different places. He calls us here in Elizabeth City where we're at, but it's not figuring out, I'm willing to do it if this happens, I'm willing to do it if I go here. It's about saying, God, I just want to be used by you. Whatever that looks like, whatever that seems. But if you want to be used by God, it begins with the burden, but it continues with having to be clean. If you want to be used by God, you have to be clean. 2 Timothy 2:21 puts it this way. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel in honor. Remember in 2 Timothy, he talks about honor and dishonor. But he says honored, sanctified. And this phrase, meet for the master's use. Meat for the master's use. If we truly want to be used by God, we're going to have to be clean. We have to be prepared. And it says, and prepared unto every good work. Are we saying, God, it means so much to me that I would be used by you that I'm willing to be clean. I'm willing to take the time and the effort and the energy. If you sit here and you look at this and you consider all the things it says, he was fasting, he was praying, and that he was doing it day and night. And then if you look later on in chapter number 2, it talks about when he goes before the king. I'm not super smart, but I believe, if you believe for the people that I've read after, it's like 4 months of him praying. He's seeking the Lord. He's trying to get clean here because he wants to be used by God. The only way you can be used by God might be willing to have God put a burden in your heart. And you got to be able to have that burden, you have to ask. And when you ask, you have to be willing to think and consider and pray. When we see these pictures, this should not be. And when we see the mission videos, and when we see the masses that are out there, and when we see the people and the individuals, it can't be just us letting go in one ear and go out another ear. It's got to be God. I want to be used by you. God, show me what you want me to do. God, give me direction, what you want to go. But modern day Christianity is so far away from that. It's so far from the fact that, hey, God, I'm a vessel that I want to be used by you, that we dismiss the thought of, no, I'm not going to that climate. I'm too old, or I'm too young. I'm not leaving my family. I'm not doing this. I'm not leaving this. And once again, we're not all called to go into all parts of the world, but we're all called to go. And we all have a purpose. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And it begins with allowing God to burden us. Then it continues on by saying, God, I know I need to be clean because I know that you want to use me, but you're not going to use dirty things. A third thing, I think in order to be used by God, number one is letting God put a burden in your heart. Number two, making sure we're clean or getting clean. Number three is willing to put yourself out there or willing to make yourself available for service. Once again, whichever one you want to choose. Look what it says here in chapter 1, verse number 11. Listen to this prayer. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attended to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. And so he's praying to the Lord and he's asking him to be attentive to the prayer of his servants. And look, they fear thy name and prosper. And he says, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So he's asking for mercy in the sight of the king because God's put something in his heart. There's a burden there. He wants to go help in Jerusalem. He is making himself available. A king's cupbearer job would have been something that for this Jew to have would have been an exalted position for him to have. And I know he's still working for the king and in some ways, in some forms, some people say would be in captivity here, but still this would be an exalted position, but he is willing to take himself away from a position that would have been comfortable when the king was traveling. He would have been around a position that would have been, then he would have been very well taken care of, and place himself into a spot that is a lot of unknown, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of danger, a lot of hard work. He makes himself available and he says, God, if you will work it out, if you will take this, I'm willing to place myself in whatever service that you want me to have, whatever it is you want me to do. And that's when he says, let me have mercy in the sight of the king. I believe God's put something in Nehemiah's heart. He's put that burden there. He's gotten himself clean. He's ready for service and God's placed something there. But why would God allow Nehemiah to go over there? Nehemiah doesn't know how all the details are going to work out. But look what it says in chapter number 2. So chapter number 2, verse number 1, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. And you say, well, that's kind of, well, you don't want to look sad in the presence of the king. Verse number 2, wherefore the king said unto him, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Now we would think, hey, I go to work and I have a bad attitude. My boss has just got to deal with that. That's different. This king, Nehemiah's life is in his hand. He could have been put to death just like that. And God allows this sorrow to be seen by the king. And it says he was very sore afraid. So he is putting himself in an uncomfortable spot. He is putting himself in a place that could cause him to be punished, could cause him his life. And he is something that he says in verse number 1, he's never been before time sad in his presence, but he allowed himself to be sad as the Lord is leading and the Lord is guiding. The God is the one that's doing the work. As we learned about this morning in Sunday school class, he's the one that's doing the service. He's, you know, there might be enemies out there. There might be lions that tried to attack us that we looked at this morning and the different enemies of the world that are out there. David's sitting in that cave and he says, I'm trusting the Lord to take care of this. And he's allowing the Lord, he's following through. He's making himself available to do something that would be uncomfortable, that would be unusual, something he's never done before. Why is that? Because that's what happens when we say, God, I want to be used by you. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows what's best. Then you continue on in verse number 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So he says, yeah, I have a reason to be sad. He gets the opportunity to be able to present his need to the king. God only could do that. He found mercy as he prayed at verse number 11 in chapter number 1. He put himself available. He put himself out there. He was willing to put himself in a place of service. The way that God's going to use us is, number one, that we allow God to burden our hearts with the things that God wants us to be burdened with, and that we would be willing to be clean. And then we say, Lord, I'm available. I'm putting myself out there for whatever it is you want. And God leads and directs and brings him before the king once again. Through his sadness, he's able to make his petition known. And in verse number 4, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? You know, most kings, you would think, most days, you'd be like, man, go clean yourself up. Don't ever come back in my presence that way. But God answered his prayer from verse number 11 that he is finding mercy in the sight of this man. And what does it say in verse number 40? He does, so I prayed to the God of heaven. He prays to the God of heaven. What is he doing? He's making himself available. God, you did this step. I don't know what the next step is. But God, I'm ready. Look, and continues, and it says, verse number 5, I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto him, unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come to Judah. And the letter unto Aspen, and it begins to describe how the king sends letters, and the king gets supplies to help build. Not only does God answer his prayer, and he's allowed to leave his post for a period of time, it says that God, through the king, made everything possible. What is that? It's because he was willing to be available. It's because at some point in time when he heard and God allowed him to become a burden. He made sure he was clean and he says, God, I'm willing to be used. And the fourth thing I want you to think about, if you really, truly want to come before the Lord and say, God, I just want to be used by you. You're going to have to endure persecution. Look what it says in chapter 4. And we could have chose many different things here about the persecution that Nehemiah faced. This was not an easy task. This was not something that was convenient. This was someone who made it was, and he just said, God, I just want to be used by you. Chapter 4, look what it says in verse number 1. It says, but when it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews and spake before his brethren in the army of the Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. He's mocking. They're mocking at him. They're laughing at him. These men try to attack. These men try to do whatever they can to get him off that wall. And Nehemiah, to be able to be used of God, you have to be prepared to endure persecution. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I know that for some, the message may just kind of just go right over their head and say, oh, I don't care if God uses me. It's not a big deal. I'll be available when it's convenient. Now, yeah, of course, it would be cool if God used me. It doesn't work that way. It works with us going before the Lord and saying, God, I want to be used by you. And then it takes the effort of us allowing God to burden us with whatever he chooses to burden us with. I don't know what he's going to burden your heart with. I have no idea why he's placed you in certain spots for certain reasons, why he calls certain people to go over to Papua New Guinea, he calls others to go over to China, and why he calls some of us just to go across the street. It's not my job to figure that out. It's not your job either. What our job is to just go before God and say, God, I'm willing to be used. And then I go to the spot, not only am I willing to allow God to burden my heart, I'm willing to take the painstaking process of denying myself, getting myself clean, making sure there's nothing between me and the Lord, so I can hear and make myself readily available for what he has. And then as I'm clean, I go before him and say, okay, God, I'm here, I'm ready, use me. And sometimes I think we say that, I'm here, I'm ready, use me. And I understand that, and I've said that before, but I haven't always said that with an open heart and an open burden. To say, God, however you burden my heart, I'm willing to do it. I haven't always did that with a clean heart, saying, God, I'm ready to be used by you. Many times it just needs some more cleaning. Thirdly, I've let myself out there sometimes, but not for always every opportunity. That's not really saying I'm ready to be used. It's saying, God, you can have this part of me. we truly want to go before him with an open service, with an open heart, it's going to be whatever you want me to do. You know how many times we have people that are helping us, and we know that there's some limitations of what people do, and maybe you have a group of people that are helping you, and they come up, and you have that group of people that say, hey, I'm excited, give me whatever you want me to do, I'll be happy with. And then there's others that will say, I'm willing to do this, and I'm not willing to do that. I mean, that's just, it happens sometimes. Sometimes because of physical limitations, oftentimes just because of personal desires. So tonight, when's the last time that you've gone before God and just said, God, I'm willing to be used by you. And really say, God, whatever you want to burden my heart about, I'm willing to do. We like our ministries. We like the things God's burdened our hearts, or the things we burden our own hearts with. We like helping certain friends. We like helping certain people groups. We like pouring ourselves into our own ministries. And sometimes they're God called. Other times they're people called. I got to do something. I got to put myself on a list, and I got to make sure that I'm busy doing things for God because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. But when is the last time that we've opened our heart up and just said, God, I just want to be used by you. And I am open for whatever you want me to do. You say, Pastor, what if he tells me to go talk to people about the Lord? If you say that to God, you know what? He's going to tell you to go talk to people to the Lord. I mean, there is no other doubt about that. He wants to get the gospel out. He's gonna tell you to talk to other people about it. Because if not, you're just not willing. You're not going to be used the way that God wants to use you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really want to get all the way clean. There's certain parts of my life I just want to keep. But I don't. And you're not being sincere when you say, I want to be used, because if I want to be used, God, or fit for the master's use. And then it's put herself there. This man put himself there. I see sometimes people put themselves out there and willing to do whatever they can for their family, and they think it's wonderful. But for God, there's a limitation. One of the preachers this week made this illustration. They said, hey, if I... Of course, I don't have any tracks. I must always have tracks there. But if I paid you, he used the word $10,000. I think that's ridiculous. But if I said, hey, I'm going to give you $100 for every gospel track you hand out and read to somebody, I bet you a lot of people will be signing up to handing out gospel tracks and reading them, right? For money. But then we say we won't do that because we love God, though. Willing to do it because someone's willing to give me $1,000 to do it? Of course, man, I want to rack up. I want to save for the future. If that's the case, then we say that that's more important than what God tells us to do. And once again, I'm not trying to pick what your burden should be. I do know that God's going to want you to tell others about him because that's what he does. But just making yourself available, that's amazing. But really what available looks like, wanting to be used looks like, is allowing to God in parts of your heart that we rather sometimes just keep closed and just like, that's their problem, that's their need. And God doesn't call us to all needs. I mean, he's not calling everybody to Baghdad, obviously. And most people be like, I am never going there. You've missed the whole point of the message. It's not us to determine where we should be sent and what God calls us to do. It's not letting someone else call us to somewhere. It's not us calling ourselves. It's saying, God, I just want to be used by you. But Pastor, what if he told me he wanted me to leave my family? And that doesn't often happen, but what if he did? You listen to that lady. And like I said, I know when I asked Brother Stephen about Jordan, that's a tough, and he says, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I'm just excited about getting there. And for the guy to write, when I die in the Middle East, you know what that means? He was planning on someday dying. He wasn't planning on dying a martyr's death. He just planned on living his life there. And he was just being willing to be used. So tonight, when's the last time, with an open heart, with a clean heart, and with a willing heart, you've gone before God and just said, God, I want to be used. I'll close with this story. David Gibbs is the guy that preached the message after the testimony. He closed out the conference, and he told this story. I had heard it before. He told the story of how Christian Law Association had started. And it's kind of a neat story. I've heard it before. He said, well, that just tailor makes for the message. I've heard this before in a different message. And he says him and his wife were having devotions on a Thursday night. He had just gotten out of law school. And he and the wife asked David Gibbs, and of course, I'm not going to tell the story as good as he does because he's good at telling stories. Wife asked David, and he says, "Hey, David, do you think God could give us a ministry for lawyers?" Because he has graduated from law school. And Brother Gibbs looked at his wife and he says, "I don't even think God likes lawyers, much less would he have a ministry for them." And then I thought that was funny. And she said, "Well, can we just ask him that he would use us? Can we just go before him and say, 'God, we want you to use us'?" And Brother Gibbs kind of, you know, sometimes when you, he says this, not me, of course, this I would never, he says, sometimes you tell your wife, okay, just so that way you don't have to keep on listening to her. I would never do that. But that's what Brother, he said, "Yeah, sure, that's fine." And she says, no. I says, "I want us to pray and just sincerely say, 'God, we just want to be used by you. And Lord, if you would allow it to be a part of being a lawyer or inside the law offices, then I'm willing." And at that point in time, Brother Gibbs looked at his wife and said, "You know, who do you know?" And she also said, "And we don't charge anybody. We'll provide a lawyer service and we'll do all the things for anyone who's attacked by the faith, attacked for their faith. And we don't charge anybody." And Brother Gibbs looked at his wife and says, "Who do you know that's been attacked by their faith?" And once again, this was many years ago. And his wife says, "I don't know anybody." He says, "You live in America. No one's ever going to be sued for their faith." And how many years ago was that? How many trials was that? And as the story goes along, on Tuesday, he got a phone call from the big law office he worked at. There was a pastor on the phone that asked to talk to Brother Gibbs. And he was getting sued for the faith. And he didn't have any money. And Brother Gibbs said, "You know what? We have a ministry for that." And he's like, "Really?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "Well, how long have you had it?" He says, "It started last Thursday." And he says, "We are going to offer legal services and we're not going to charge anybody." And he's like, "That's great." And then he says, "But you probably want to go to somebody who has a little bit more experience." He says, "Oh, no. He says, "I like the fact you say that you're not going to charge anybody." And it says that case, that trial lasted for 14 years, and it something that had to do with Christian schools, and that part of the reason why Christian schools are able to operate today was because of that first attack on the faith. And once again, that was a long time ago. But it all began with someone saying, "Can we ask God to use us? God, not only am I willing to be used, I want to be used. And God, not only do I want to be used, I'm going to open up my heart so that way you can burden with whatever you want. I think enough of it, I'm going to make sure I'm clean so that way you can use me. And I'm going to make myself available." Whatever that is, whether it's on the street corner somewhere, whether it's in another country or in someone's home, whatever it is, God, I just want to be used by you. I don't want to be used by this world. I want to be used by you. Tonight, I'm just wondering, would you be willing to say that to God? Whether here at the altar or in your seat, doesn't really matter to me. Just make sure it's what the Lord wants that you do. And you say, if you mean it, "God, I just want to be used by you." It might mean that there are some things you have to be willing to allow God to open your heart up. It might take time. It took 4 months before God prepared him to go before the king of night and day night and day praying. I know he didn't fast for 40 days, but I know he was intent on what he was trying to do. But take that first step by saying, as we learned this morning, is "I am going to follow Jesus." Then it comes to denying. Then it comes to picking up your cross. Then it comes to following after him. But making that decision, I do want to be used by God. And I do want to pray that God would give me a burden for what he wants me to do. And I am willing to take steps to make sure I'm clean. And I do want to make myself available. And if God's willing to help me, and he is, if you're willing to go to him and say, "God, I just want to be used. God, will you use me?" The answer is going to be yes. So tonight, like I said, the lady's testimony really encouraged my heart, because there was a time in Brother Stephen's life, he says, "I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. That's what God's put on my heart." And I'm thinking, "Ah, it's better you than me." But then I see that I wonder the last time I said, hey, God, I want you to use me. I'm willing to open my heart. I'm willing to be clean. And I'm willing to do whatever it is you want. I belong to you anyway. What if you can trust God. What if he sends me? You can trust God. What if he makes me? You can trust God. He knows what's best for you. So tonight, would you with me just say to God, God, I want you to use me. I am willing, but not just willing. God, I want you to use me. Let's pray.